I enjoy being here. I really do. Yeah, it used to be. We're going to do something a little bit different than we normally do. Yeah, we're going to have communion. When I was in a Lutheran church, this tall, I dreaded. We did communion every 3 weeks, and I dreaded it because what's the most important part as a kid about church? The final hymn. The final hymn, you know, the closing hymn, it means we're gone. Well, communion does what? It stretches it out, makes it unbearable. But, you know, I look forward to it now. But, you know, I got to thinking about communion. Yeah, and everybody does it a little bit different. You know, here we do it once a quarter, 4 times a year. You know, there's no Bible directive for it. In the Catholic Church, they celebrate Mass every time they get together. A friend of mine's Church of Christ, every Sunday they have the Lord's Supper. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. But it does, it's an opportunity for us to stop and reflect and look backwards and look forward. You know, and as I was reading and looking and there, it appeared to me that there's two major things about, you know, why do we do communion? Now, why do we celebrate communion? Lord's Supper, whatever it is you want to call it. Well, God, Jesus in the night, you know, the first time he did it, you know, he gave specific instruction. He said, by doing this, we show the Lord's death till he comes. And he said, you know, and he said, that's a good thing to do. It's something to look forward to. But I think there's two other reasons that really apply to us. Who had a good week this week? No problems? No stumbles? You didn't fall? Cause anybody else any issues? You know, that's what happens to us, is that we struggle. This world is a struggle. You know, it's unfortunately it starts in our homes, and it gets worse as we leave. And every day we do something that we regret, that we wish we could stick it back in. We open our mouth, we make a wrong look, a wrong action, whatever it is. Believe it or not, I do that too. You know, David is not perfect. You know, David is a evil-tempered, coarse, wears the love, wear a grudge around like a backpack. Was that man purse, Matt? See, that's man bag. Man bag. you know, a merce. yeah, and I struggle with it. I struggle with it mightily. It's almost like hard exercise. And God knows that. He knows who we are. He knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. And he loves us. That's amazing. That he knows what's under this tie. He loves me anyway. You know, and that's part of what I believe the Lord's Supper is for. It's, man, you've had a rough time. You've had a rough time. Who's heard of Dr. Schultz? Ever heard of superfood? God says you need some superfood. You know, there's nothing super about that. What's in that?
Delicious whole wheat,
salt, olive oil, and whole wheat. Nothing magical in those ingredients, is there? And there's nothing magical about asking God to bless it. As far as it changing from olive oil, whole wheat, and salt into flesh and blood. When we put it in their mouth, it's still the same ingredients. There's nothing about the spot underneath this burnout light that when we ask the blessing, that fire comes down from heaven and anoints it. But when we come together and we take that and we put it in our mouths, and by faith we believe that that is the body of Christ. By faith, not actuality, that makes a difference. That little square, there's not much there, just a bite. It becomes more than enough. It sustains us. It takes all the bumps and the bruises and the scars we've accumulated for the past 2 or 3 months and heals them, makes them go away. It becomes soul food. It is superfood, because by faith it has the ability to do that in each one of us. If you'll forgive me, this is from can't get it open the right page. The title is A Savor of Life Unto Life by Ellen White. From every human being, there goes forth an influence that either gathers with Christ or scatters from him. Our every action, our every word, exerts an influence either for good or for evil. This influence affects the eternal destiny of those of whom we associate. Influence and example, when viewed in the light of the cross and in our true relation to eternity, assume infinite importance. A word fitly spoken and action rightly done may save a soul from death. Day by day, the example we set and the influence we exert are registered in the records going beforehand to judgment. How many of us did that this week? Past month? 2 months? That resolves those issues. That resolves it. God says, I'll give you strength. I know you've fallen. Take of me, partake, and I will give you strength to overcome. I will not give you strength to overcome what you didn't do. I'll give you strength to do what I'm asking you to do. The more closely we are united to Christ, the more tender and affectionate we shall be in dealing with one another. The redemption of the fallen race was planned in order that man might be a partaker of the divine nature. When by the grace of Christ we become partakers of this nature, our influence on those around us will be a savor of life unto life. What a privilege to become a savor. What is a savor? Do you have any idea? I mean, it's a nice word, isn't it? There was a savor in the house last night when Cheryl was baking his bread. You got a clue? It's a fragrance. A fragrance. You know, and as I thought about that, you know, there's a little things that make a big difference. You know, the fragrance of fresh cut hay the day after it's been cut, lying in the sun curing. The smell of a horse. I mean, there's just nothing like it. It just takes you back and makes slows things down. That smell of fresh baked bread. Now, when you smell fresh baked bread, what are you thinking of? I'm thinking about putting it in my mouth. You know, and I think that's the second thing that communion does for us. Whatever your life is, your best day. You know, there's days that just everything comes together. The planets all line up. We get everything on the list done. The grass is cut. The windows are clean. The car is polished. The kids are obedient. The dog is nice. You know, it doesn't happen often. But it's nice when it happens, doesn't it? And you go to bed and you go, I'm a man. I got it done. That won't compare. That won't compare. Paul tells us that eye has not seen, ear heard. No, as beautiful as it is out there today, in a few weeks the leaves are going to be falling and we're going to go out there and we're going to look at death and destruction and we're going to think it's beautiful. Have you ever thought about that? The best day we've ever had here won't compare. That's a foretaste. That's what that is. God says, I've got something better. Whatever you've got here, I've got something better over here. Keep on. Don't give up. Here's a little strength to keep you going. A taste. An hors d'oeuvre, as you will. It's an appetizer. It just whets your whistle. Man, I want some more. I'll be back for more. That's why we do communion. God says, don't ever stop. I've got something better. You need another taste? I'll give you another taste. It's not always going to be like this. It's going to be better. Better than you can imagine. This is from the, forgive me for copying what David did a few weeks ago, but what was heaven like? Ellen White's first vision. I can't begin to tell you all of it. I know that I saw more gold than I ever could imagine. Who wants more gold? I mean, it'd be nice, but the first thing we saw was God's throne. There was a glorious golden throne which had a lovely clear stream of water pouring right out from under it. The water flowed in the shining river lined with trees, the river of life, coming from underneath God's throne. You know, Christ said, he who drinks, who gives the, takes the water I give him will never thirst again. He was the rock that gave the water in the desert. And we're told that in heaven, the water comes straight out from under God's throne. One tree was quite different from the rest. It had two trunks, one on each side of the river, yet it was all one tree. The branches grew together at the top. They went out into the garden, but I can't explain what they were doing. It wasn't digging and weeding as we do here. They were not in my garden. My garden is full of rocks and weeds. On the best day ever, it still got rocks and weeds. In heaven, we get to garden perfectly. Girls, that means you don't have to go out and water anymore. Things are going to grow. Noah is much different, and no one stopped to stretch his back or wipe his forehead. Whatever the work was, it was fun. And the people didn't get tired. Who wants to go to heaven? Who's ready for heaven? Nearby, I saw a field of flowers. I ran to pick them and then stopped, realizing they would never die. The rose would never lose its bloom. the daisies would never fade. The aroma is edible. Thank you, Chuck. They never fade. I cried, oh, praise God for that. The flowers were perfect, the way that God first made them. No bugs, no thorns, no dead petals. Next, I saw a field of bright green grass with silver and gold reflections. A lion, a lamb, a leopard, and a wolf were lying together peacefully, together on the field. And when we passed them, they got up and began to follow us, but I was not afraid. I knew they were tame and they would never hurt anything. It's a whole different creation. After walking through some woods, we reached the temple sparkling in the light. It stood on 7 see-through glass pillars, decorated with huge pearls. Here's the best part. Inside, we found our own names written on stone tablets. Your name is written in heaven. On stone, it cannot be erased. It's there. Our language just doesn't have the words to describe things. I wish I had heaven's language to tell you. Hurrying back to the city, we passed through the gates and stopped to stare at a table miles and miles long. David, here to Shebaville, here to your house. Our eyes were strong and we could see the other end of it. Don't need the cheaters anymore. On the table were fruits from the lovely two-trunk tree of life. Manna. I've heard people say that tree of life is going to have 7 different kinds of papayas on it. You know, 7 different varieties of mangoes. It's going to have manna on it. What kind of tree produces bread? Almonds, figs, pomegranates, grapes, apples, many other kinds of fruits. I could hardly wait to sit down. But when I could ask Jesus if I could have some, he answered kindly, "No, not now. Those who eat this fruit will never go back to earth again." Who would want to go back? Who would want to go back? You must go back and tell others what you have seen and encourage them. It's better here. Hold on. It gets better. In a little while, if you are faithful, you shall eat this fruit and drink the water from heaven's fountain. That's why we have communion. To build us up and to focus our eyes ahead. That little bread, that little cracker, when taken by faith, transports us there. It sustains us here. It lifts our hearts and our minds above this world to the next. We're going to dismiss and go to the ordinance of humility. I've thought, what would it be to be in that upper room? When I was reading, Jesus got up in the middle of the meal. Sometimes it says at the end of the meal. But all of a sudden, Christ gets up and he walks over to the corner where the basin is. And you realize what he's doing. And he comes and kneels before you, washes your feet. The majesty of heaven washing me. And then, or to be the last one and have to wait until he got to you. Think about that. Don't look and to your friend or someone you know, or if you're the one doing the washing, what a privilege to be in Christ's stead serving others.